since he has been suspended, I've had some interesting messages. My mum hasn't come out great from it. It's been interesting, to say the least.
Subscribe now to the OTB Rugby podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, or get the entire OTB catalogue on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now we're looking back at the weekend. Toulouse 22, La Rochelle 17, and Twickenham on Saturday. Ronan O'Gara is with us. How are you, Ronan?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
How you doing? Can't win them all, I guess. Hard luck.
Yeah, this was the one to win. But yeah, bitterly disappointed. It's worse today, actually. A lot worse. But we got to get our heads around it and come back better and see how we can have a cut off the top 14, because Saturday there was a game there to be won even with 14 players, and that's the frustrating part about it. But as we know, it's 80 minutes, and if you're not good enough for the 80 minutes, shut up and move on.
Why worse today? Why is the disappointment worse today?
I just reviewed the game, and we kind of... Toulouse were obviously worthy winners, but did we beat ourselves? I think we did a little bit. We're a hard team to score against, Joe, and the stats would show that. But their first 12 points were soft, very soft, too soft for this level. So you take that away, and you obviously have a far better chance of winning the game.
You were talking to Shane Horgan at the full-time whistle on Virgin, and you said then that your gut reaction, and that's obviously without reviewing the game because it was just on the full-time whistle, your gut reaction was we weren't very accurate and we weren't very disciplined. Did that hold up, that gut reaction, when you watched it back?
Most definitely accuracy with the ball. I think we had opportunities in the first half from scrums. Our scrum was excellent and we didn't capitalise. I think we had probably two and a half very good opportunities to score tries. But we didn't probably identify the space properly. But that happens. The discipline actually was, I was mistaken in that. I think you go through, I suppose, Entomac, who kicked brilliantly, but the opportunities that he got, the first one, TKB Carvalho offside in midfield, 45 out, there's no ruck. Second one is a line out drive, which is a big strength of ours. It's a big focus point of work for us. And Winnie Antonio gets penalised coming in the side. The other one, the chip by Entomac, taken out by Skelton. That's 30 metres from Toulouse's line, and where the ball lands, has he changed his line? No. And the thing with this is that you're whinging when you lose. I don't want to go down that road, Joe. I've always said that we try and take them out of the game. And the fourth penalty is Dumaru from a Brice Doolan is on his 1 metre from his dead ball line. He's kicked the ball. Number 13 is 1 metre on the goal line. He hasn't encroached within 20 metres of the ball, but it's a penalty 5 metres in front of the stick. So that's 12 points. It's big in a final. It's huge in a final.
Huge.
It's but that's the flip side of it, and it's not sour grapes, I hope, but it's just pointing out the fine margins.
You mentioned those scrums, and for me, that's the memorable period of that first half. So look, the game settles down and you said, look, a few easy mistakes, but you kick your penalties as well. And then West misses the penalty, but it kind of works out off the post and you 5 metre scrum, and geez, your forwards didn't let you down. Killed.
No, they were brilliant.
They really were. Killed, I mean, in the open play as well, but killed to lose in those scrums, 5 metres out, 7 metres out, and there was maybe a missed time with Bodia, kind of went inside shoulder, and there was a knock on, and there was for 6 minutes these scrums right in the try line, and you thought, well, sure, this is going to be really a moment, and suddenly you kind of come away with nothing, or maybe it's 6-6. But I remember thinking, God, they've worked very, very hard there for not much.
Yeah, and that was 15 against 15.
Yeah,
and you're right. That was a crucial point, I suppose, to demoralise Toulouse and to give us a big boost. As you say, we ended up, I think, with maybe 3 points, but the forwards probably deserve seven, but that's the way it goes. You know, we had a knock on, which is a massive release of pressure. Entomac defended really well. He had an excellent game. And but we released the pressure on them in that regard. And we've, you know, that's a really favourable position, 20 metres from a right-hand touchline. What do they do with their split? There has to be space somewhere. But, you know, if we had the ball back, I think we'd probably go behind the back of Botia. But that's live sport, ifs and buts.
And so, I'm sure there's a lot of ifs and buts the last 48 hours for you. And so, like, as you said, such a great position and the scrum going so well, you must have oodles of moves or plays or spotting space you could do in that kind of position. That must be the killer part. I mean, that's dreamland territory to have your scrum that secure and to be that close to the try line.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, like, as we know, we're judged on that, and at that minute in a pressure situation, we didn't pull the trigger on the right play. So that's...
And do you put it down to pressure?
I'm not too sure, but it's obviously, it comes back to me too in terms of maybe the direction I had given them. They weren't absolutely 100% sure on what play to play. So we had today off, so we'll have a look at that tomorrow. And I suppose the good thing about this is that if this was our second final and you're doing the same mistakes, then you aren't making progress. But there is a step up most definitely from semi-finals to finals, and conditions in the first half were difficult. The ball was like a bar of soap, and then it got better as the game went on, an awful lot better. But, you know, I mean, I think we back ourselves to score from there, getting another opportunity. But as we know, that's a long, long way to wait to another year of Champions Cup rugby.
And are you genuine there when you say maybe you weren't clear, or maybe they weren't clear on what to do there? Like, do you?
No, I was, but like, it's... You'd have a nailed off menu, you know, so you probably have two options from a right hand side scrum near their line, and you probably have two options off a left hand side scrum near their line. But, you know, I mean, it depends too on I suppose, the 8-9 connection, what they want to do, and are you going with the wheel, are you going against the wheel? But we've experienced players in those positions, and I think we probably, you know, I mean, Botia has been a star man all season, but it just a little bit of kind of giving priority to make sure he was in zero pain going into the game without that ankle injury. A small bit of match sharpness was probably lacking, and took his eye off the ball for a fraction of a second, opportunity gone.
Yeah, you were saying he hadn't been able to train really, which is difficult. So the red card happens on, what, 28 minutes? Killer blow, changes the match. I don't think anybody from La Rochelle can have any complaints about the red card. For Botia to go that high in this day and age when you know what's going to happen, does he always tackle that high? I'm not watching him enough to know. No. Is that his tackle technique?
No, it can't be, because...
Right, so how...
he'd play one game and he'd be suspended for 10.
Yeah, he wouldn't be around. So where did that come from, do you think?
I think he probably had an error or two in him, and good guys who care a lot about their team, what do they do? They try and come up with a big shot. That's his game, and got his timing wrong. And it's 100% the red card. There's absolutely no complaints whatsoever with it. You're not going to have a more clear-cut case. But I thought, which was a little bit kind of comforting for everyone, was the fact that there was a little bit of a dip by Maidar, because originally I thought he was kind of just absolutely decapitated him, which would have been shocking for everyone. But I think you could see there was a little bit of a change, and he was attacking with his head forward, which made the whiplash look horrendous. And it was an awful tackle. But he hits hard, very hard, but usually, as we know nowadays, it cannot be any higher really than... Your belly or belly button is probably where you're recommending at the highest point.
How is a guy like Botia then in the dressing room afterwards? I presume he feels horrific.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been here a long time too, and he's very much a favourite with all the boys and with the supporters. And he's a man of very few words.
Right.
But he lets his acts do the talking. And you know, the reality is, Joe, we wouldn't have been in a final without him. It's a massive moment of, what are the words for this? A massive moment of ill-thought, ill-discipline, or just not getting his thought processed what he wanted to achieve, which was very costly. But, you know, I think that's why you always try and get to know your players. And, you know, sometimes caring too much counts against you, and it did on this occasion.
So, look, I know I'm watching the game and that happens and I think, well, they're goosed. Game over. Hand on heart, do you have the same thought?
No, I would have before, but we kind of had done our what-ifs during the week in terms of, like, what happens when we get a yellow card, what happens when we get a red card. And I kind of identified these scenarios and how we'd adapt to it and what we'd need to do differently. It obviously has a fair bit of an impact on the game. But I actually think, Joe, that we could have still probably got a result with 14 players. Logic and everything, you're right, it makes it so much more difficult and maybe it takes more out of the legs, but it wasn't a fast game, it wasn't a physically taxing game, there were some big hits in it obviously, but I think the red card is a huge moment, but also because of we probably pride ourselves on our defence, giving up the 12 points, the first 12 points to lose is as big a moment for me as the red card is.
Yeah. I know Shane Organ was saying he thought you got the tactics spot on, like it was a brilliant kind of tactical plan that you put on, and your forwards, I mean, even I could see the La Rochelle Foreman's forwards were dominant, scrum and open play, they were brilliant. Could I ask you, in the hope that Toulouse aren't listening to this right now, and I know you might have to play them again down the line, what was the tactical plan? Just in a very simple kind of broad term sweep, what were you trying to do in defence and what were you trying to do in attack?
Well, no, exactly. In attack, we were trying to hold the ball.
Keep the ball, yeah. The ball. You didn't?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But we kind of had a game plan, whether rugby, and we'd game plan summer rugby.
Right.
So we had the two of them because we saw the long range forecast and this was predicted. And before the game, the morning of the game, it didn't look good. Then it looked really good an hour before. Then the heavens opened and it became bad. And then it was a really slippy ball. So it was so much harder, as you can see, where you're playing on a wet track like Twickenham as opposed to the semi-final or the quarter-final, and where handling it just is very easy when you have a dry ball. But we were still okay. We lost our shape a few times in attack, obviously, because we're missing one man. Your 12 is kind of central to a lot of what you want to do. But that's, you know, I mean, it's not an excuse. We adapted quite well to it. It was just the how frustratingly cheap we gave up four kicks of goal. Just so, you know, I mean, disappointing, frustrating.
Yeah. Because you had 56% territory, I saw as well. It was about even at possession stakes. Like, I was wondering at halftime, would the message just be, look, we 14, just keep the ball. Just, you're winning up front, just keep the ball.
What you want to do, you want to try and put pace on the ball and do something with the ball. And as you saw, when we did actually go through phases, they gave up soft penalties.
Yeah.
So that would obviously work well for us. And then, you mean 12-9, we have a big opportunity to go to 15-9 and we don't take that and they go up the other end and they go 12-all. That's a big moment when you're 14 men and you want to give your forwards a reward.
Yes.
So we never really put doubt in Toulouse's minds bar potentially the last 2 minutes of the game. The character of the boys was powerful. It was immense. I think we showed we're fit, we're strong, we can play a number of ways. We got back into the game with 14. Kerbaris got a very good try, and then we attacked off the restart. And we had opportunities, and it did really come down to the final play. But there was a difference in opinion with how that was interpreted.
I'll come to that. Will Skelton said during the week, he said two things. He said, one, they all enjoy playing rugby 08 and they often pick you, which was just to make you feel old. But he said, in one of the early games, you turned around to him and a few others in the dressing room, but you turned to him and you said, you're not fit enough. And you went through him. And it seemed this was a real light bulb moment. So the fitness side of things is obviously something you've prioritised and made a thing this season. And it showed, like that late try with 14 men. But Skelton said that was, like, we're talking about, you know, Skelton, you know, we know what he did with Saracens. He said it took that kick up the ass to get him fit, which was kind of interesting.
But I suppose there's a good staff in La Rochelle, Joe. I think there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of people interested in getting the best out of people. I'm a little piece of the jigsaw, and I enjoy doing that. But I think sometimes you can see at early stages in a project what's glaringly obvious. And I felt that, mind you, the conditions were 33 degrees.
Right.
I don't think, you know what I mean, they were debating, like, I was extremely harsh to pick out Winnie Antonio, Lopetti and Will, because they're all minimum 130 kilograms, and on a day like that, you can be sure, like, that they're fast twitch fibre athletes, they're short spurts, they're brilliant at that, but there was a lot of up and back the pitches, so...
Right, okay.
I think the positive thing for me was the way that Will took that, because that could have been a turning point with kind of, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. It's easy to blame fitness because, I mean, our game plan wasn't anywhere near where it is nowadays. But I just he's changed a lot, and it's a pleasure being around people as motivated as him.
Well, he's had quite the season. And as an aside, when you make a pop like that in the dressing room, you're not fit enough, you. Would you go to the trouble of checking stats and checking meters covered, or would you just base it on your eye? I just know to look at you, you're not fit. When it's a risky enough thing, as you said, to have a pop at Skelton. Like, you want to come armed, or did you just say, I know, looking at you, you're not fit?
No. Like, it was. Like, it's, you're making it out that this is quite calm and measured. I'd lost the plot in the changing room.
Okay, so, right.
It's like, I have to give you a bit of context where but I've only done, that was probably, well, I've done it a few times, but that was one of the times where you're trying to install. It was probably match day three of the top 14 season.
Right.
And you could see that this team has potential, but if we want to be serious, we need to prioritise getting some of our forwards fitter. But they've taken it on really well, Joe. Like, I can't speak more highly of them. You look at what they did in the Leinster game, and we were still going hard at 14 men at the end. So that's, I think, mentally and physically, that really pleases me.
Yeah, no, well, it was his interview was in my mind watching the last 10 minutes of that game when they were still going strong. You referenced there 12-9 at half time to La Rochelle, and a great chance to go 15-9 up, and just that bit of scoreboard pressure and that sense of, okay, Toulouse, you've got something to think about here. Big moments in the game, you'd have a feel for those big moments. AO West, your number 10, he was four from seven kicks, had been 100% against Leinster, in fairness to him. Maybe his stats season-wide are kind of high 60s percentages of kicks made. Someone like Intomac is touching 80. Look, he's desperate to make those kicks, I'm sure. And you have been that soldier in that stadium, on that stage, missing kicks you don't want to miss. So what do you do about a situation like that? Like, do you talk to him? Do you leave him be? Where's his head? And
yeah, you do, of course, talk to him. Yeah, he was disappointed after the game. And he's a really honest a good guy. I think he's not going to hit kick, and you can't expect him to kick 100%. Like, that for me is unrealistic. And then we'll say, well, Intima kicked 100%. Yeah, he did, and he kicked brilliantly, and he was probably the difference between the two teams, his certainty off the ground. But the Ohio West is far more than that. I think it's his all-round package that stands to him. I think there's a big difference in a final, love, as we all know, between 4 out of 7 and 5 out of 7. You know what I mean? Because even if you're within that, like, the conversion to get to 3 points is very different, because the drop goal then becomes an option for extra time. But that's all ifs and buts. I think we had a chat after the game, and there's still a big season ahead for us in the fact that we're going to have a crack off the top 14. But I think the only thing that we chatted about was just, is he giving himself the best chance to succeed with preparation? And he was kind of saying, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll have a relook at my timetable, and then we'll have a chat later in the week, which right. is which is what you like in a guy who wants to get better.
And I know you're juggling a lot in your job. Would you spend time with him on his kicking technique, or is that just not your remit?
Not really, no. I obviously hang around when the kickers kick, and I kick with a few of them as well, and I'm just there. But I just think if there's something blatantly obvious, I'd be able to see it. But his timing is really what matters to him, and he keeps it really simple process, and he's all over that kind of stuff, though, in fairness to him.
Mm. You were definitely fed up with the referee at one point. The stadium camera picked you out. And to be fair, you were right, because a sin bin followed it. So on that moment, you were spot on. I saw you chatting to Wayne Barnes walking out after the halftime break. Luke Pearce has come in for a bit of criticism. What did you make of the refereeing of that game?
Well, I think I've already spoken about it, and I leave it at that. I think it's a no-win situation for me. In my mindset, Joe, I've tried to take him out of my preparation for the whole year. I won't start in the final.
Okay.
It's not a good example to anybody, but I think I will be probably having a look in the off season about how I can engage better with them to get a better understanding. Because as I said, for those 12 points, I'm open to hear what they have to say.
Do you do much work on the week of a game on how a Luke Pearce or how a Wayne Barnes or how a certain referee is going to ref?
Yeah, we do huge work. Yeah, we do. Because it's so important, and you have to give good pictures. And I thought we have been given a lot of good pictures all year, and you engage or think we're probably a little bit different to other teams and how we defend Mauls. And Roman Carmignani, who's a kind of forward defence coach, spends an awful lot of time and has really clear pictures about what he wants. And then, obviously, I'm no expert in that area of the game, but kind of when he explains to you what he's looking to do and you can see it happening in front of you and you get pinged, then there's a breakdown in communication somewhere.
Looking at you on the few interviews you did on the day, I thought you looked like you really, in a perverse way, okay, you're disappointed afterwards, but I thought you were buzzing pre-match. Like watching you warming up, watching your interview you did with Shane Horgan on the TV, just watching your demeanour. I thought, like, he's loving this. Was it an enjoyable day? Obviously, result aside, which I guess is a big thing to leave aside. But the whole experience, Twickenham, Heineken, Champions Cup final, as a coach, your first time in that environment, how did you find it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think maybe in the summer when I'm going on holidays, I will, Joe. I think you're right. You have to be appreciative of, I suppose, the steps you've taken, but when you're there, we were all in. That was a final that was there for the take, and I think you get that kind of oh no feeling when we lose Leps after what it was at 27 minutes. That was a big, but Twickenham is very special. It's a fantastic stadium. The 10,000 people in was a massive change for everyone. Like the energy they brought, we didn't really know. It was hard to hear, which is staggering to think that we played games there with 80,000 people before, but at the weekend there was such energy by the people that were there. And I just felt that there was a big opportunity for these teams, because you know that it's so hard to get to a final, and the difference between actually getting over the line and where we are today is horrendous.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So where are you now, top 14? Is it back into games at the weekend and full on and try and win this thing? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. We have to try and get into the top two. If you get into the top two, you avoid a quarter final, but that'll be hard, obviously. We have Poe at home and then we have Claremont away. I think there's about 9 teams who can get into the top 6.
Right.
So it'll be fantastic TV for the next 2 weeks. And then, there's 5 weeks in a row of top 14 rugby now. The aim is hopefully to play two, have a week off and have a crack off a semi-final and final. But it may well be two rounds of the top 14, a quarter final, and then into knockout quarter final. And sudden death then if you're still going.
Yeah, and hopefully avoid the quarterfinal if you can, kind of thing. Okay, very good. And not watch this match back again a gazillion times over the next few days, I presume, is your plan. I hope. Or are you going to torture yourself?
No, I think you have to. I think that's what you have to do. I think there's, you know what I mean, some great learnings for us in it. I just think that, you know what I mean, the big thing with the game plan too was probably taking the initiative. I don't think we took the initiative. You look at their first strike versus our strike, line out delivery from hit the ground. Their one, they ripped us open on their first strike, you know, line out strike. So those are big moments about starting the game well and getting your grip on the game. So, you know, I mean, kick accuracy was a little bit off once or twice, but I suppose the abiding memory is there was good dog, there was good character, there was good willingness for people to scrap for each other when you were against obviously 15 men. So that's very promising for the future.
Okay, we'll let you go. Hard luck again. Thanks, Emil.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. See you. Cheers. Thank you.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Since he has been suspended, I've had some interesting messages. My mum hasn't come out great from it. It's been interesting, to say the least.
Subscribe now to the OTB Rugby podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, or get the entire OTB catalogue on the OTB Sports app.